I have a sort of puzzle where you strike out every second letter.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, if you take Blackberry and strike out every next letter, you get Baker.
Yes.
If you put a letter between each of the letters of brain, you can get Barbarian. Now, I call these dropouts. Now, I thought, I'll have a look and see how many there are in Hungarian. So I worked on this for some time and I came up with an answer. There were about three or four interesting ones. So it depends on the consonantal clusters.
Yes.
Sort of like chocolates.
Yeah, on the radicals and the very basic phonemes and the structure of a language. And I wonder, just in terms of games, you could do the same thing. Can you parse games? Can you taxonomise word games for us? Are there types, as it were, of word game?
Well, if you want to set up categories, you've got to think of respects in which to do the sorting. Think of a machine.
Yeah.
The machine's got to say, oh, that belongs on the left or the right or whatever. And you want these properties to be what mathematicians call orthogonal. That is, it's definitely this or that. Yeah. Now, the problem is at the boundaries, there is always some sort of overlap. You have a bit of this and a bit of that. So it's only rough. But you might consider certain respects in which the games differ. One is, how many people are there for? Are they solo?
Yeah.
I like that. It's very economical.
Yeah.
You don't have your embarrassment scene when you lose. Is it for one, two or many, shall we say? Are there teams? So that's one aspect. Another is how it actually runs. Is it a quizzy thing?
Yeah.
Is it a performance thing? Like Just a Minute. That's a game we used to play at school with less success and humour. Is it a quest? There's all of these things.
Yes.
Do you have to set out on a journey? Performance might be speaking, so it might be tongue twisters or come up with a poem. Is it creative? Do you have to make something? So that's one thing. You might also consider, I think an important other set of categories is, at what level of the language are you starting to muck around?
Yes.
So,
is it to do with simply with the spelling of the language, or
yeah.
is it semantic? Like I love that one in I'm sorry, I haven't a clue, where you just simply have to say a word very quickly after someone else. That must have no relation to the word that's just been
yes.
said, which of course is like saying "don't think of a rhinoceros" instantly.
Yes.
You're thinking of a rhinoceros, and that's rather wonderful because it's nothing to do with the sound or the shape or anything or the rhyme even. It's purely semantic relationship.
Right. So at one end you've got anagrams, playing around with letters. Historically, that's important because people believed, like in the Kabbalah and things like that, that they could get some insight into the world through this. I mean, it was before we had physics and that sort of thing.
The sort of the lexical equivalent of numerology.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
The part of the same root cause. But I think at the level of reference is the interesting bit. You get things like rebuses.
Yeah.
Like a family might want to represent their crest in terms of their names.
Yes. There's some, aren't there? They're sort of not well known, like which we fall into the trap of. The French cigarette paper maker, for example, is Ri Lacroix, is the name of the company. And we call it Rizla, because we see Ri, which is rice,
yes.
it's rice paper, and we see the cross.
Yes.
And it's a sort of rebus. It's a kind of a pun.
Yes, semi-rebus.
Ri Lacroix.
Very good.
And so we say Rizla.
Yes.
And we've sort of, we overlook the actual meaning of it.